I'm glad there's help to be found underneath this tabernacle. There's help to be found at your church service. And I'm grateful for the help that I have received here many times throughout the years that I have been privileged to come. Grew up as a young teenager coming to camp meeting, and it has been a part of my whole life. It's come time for preaching tonight. I appreciate Brother Rod Mattoon. He pastors the Lincoln Land Baptist Church in Springfield, Illinois. You say, well, he's not a local preacher. That's true. But God touched my heart about him. I do know this, he loves camp meeting.
Yes, he does.
And I do know this, he loves preachers. And I do know that his writings have been a blessing to me. And I do know that his church has sent money to help camp meeting. And they've never been here. They've never stepped grounds on this place. Brings money to help you have a place to stay, to feed you. They've invested in that. I want to praise God for it. But he's God's man. And I want you to hear what he has to say. He's going to preach about 30 minutes for us. I love you. Appreciate you.
Amen. Well, it's good to be here tonight. Thank you for coming to the meeting. I'm watching the Lord orchestrate the service already with just that last song. And, man, that just touched my heart. Well, take your Bible tonight. Turn to the book of Exodus, chapter number 17. Exodus, chapter number 17. It's where we're going to be tonight. Last year, I did a series of messages on puddles in the Scripture. And I found about 20 of them. And tonight, we're going to preach on one of them. Tonight, we're going to preach on puddles of refreshment. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get into the message. Now, Lord, we come tonight at your table again. We're hungry, and we pray that you'll feed us with your milk, your meat, and your honey. And we pray that it'll strengthen our lives. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll breathe on me. I pray that you'll breathe on this message. I pray that you'll breathe on every single person in this tabernacle tonight. And, Father, I'm asking you to whisper to each one of us, from the littlest child to the oldest grandmother or grandfather tonight. Oh, God, bless the service. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. If you've ever been a Christian for any length of time, you know that the Lord has a way of bringing refreshment and revival into your life in difficult times when things are not going well at all. It is in those trying times that we can get pretty testy, pretty irritable. Sometimes we can get kind of cranky. Yet God knows our need, and in his grace and mercy and patience and compassion for us, he provides our needs, and he lifts up our souls. David put it this way when he was fleeing for his life from Absalom. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. Psalm 3. By the way, he not only lifted David's head, he'll lift your head up too. What a blessing it is to be able in our difficult circumstances to enjoy God's protection, to have our prayers answered, and to feel his presence and his power in our life. He lifts up our heads above the circumstances that we have in our life. We'll look at Exodus 17, look at verse 1, and it says, all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Zin after they journeyed according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim. and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses. Now look at verse 3. And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses. Look at verse 4. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. Look at verse 6. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. You know, since their departure from Egypt, the Hebrews faced several hurdles. They needed to learn that their extremities were God's opportunities to meet their needs and to prove his power in their lives. God enrolled his people into the school of hard knocks to knock off the rough edges in their lives. Their classes was Faith 101, Trials and Tribulations 401. Now, folks, they were not making very good grades. They were not learning their lessons well. Now, let me ask you right here. Let me ask you this. Are you learning your lessons from your trials that you have in your life? Are you growing in your faith in God? Realize the Lord may enroll you into some classes in the school of hard knocks to knock off some of the rough edges that are in your life and to increase your faith. Moses and the people of Israel had mammoth problems. It was a biggie. First of all, they faced the austerity or the harshness of emptiness. They were flat out of water, and they had a ravenous thirst. The last drops in their water skins were exhausted. The scouting reports were dry and bleak. Their lips were cracked and parched, and their mouths felt like they had wads of cotton inside of them. They were waterless in the wilderness, and this predicament triggered more problems for them because of the way that they were responding to the problems. By the way, if you don't respond the right way to your problems, guess what? You're going to get some more problems. Well, the Hebrews, they cried out for water, but there was no water to be found. The desert's sands said, there's none here. The jagged cliffs of majestic mountains said, we're all out too. The brazen skies said, we don't have any either. We are flat broke of any rain. Why was the Lord leading them through one trial after another? What was God up to? Well, the reason is the same as why he allows you to go through trials in your life. God allows harsh conditions in our lives at times. There are seasons we might run out of resources of refreshment. We may be drained of strength or out of provisions in the wilderness of life. Just as the Lord was trying to teach them lessons in faith and trust, he tries to do the same thing with us too. The Lord allows the trials so that we will grow, so that we will mature and not just endure in our life. God doesn't want us floating in our life. He wants us to be thriving in the cause of Jesus Christ. Learning and growing are not easy things to do, beloved. These things require that we have a teachable spirit and an attitude of humility in our life. Our pride and our know-it-all attitude gets in the way of learning. If we fail to learn the lessons of our trials, the Lord leads us to face more trials until we develop the character that God wants us to have and to purge the sinfulness that is in our lives. Listen, if you have problems with people, the Lord may want to teach you lessons in patience, forgiveness, or overcoming anger or bitterness in your life. If you have problems with failure, the Lord may be trying to help you overcome some pride in your life, to develop some humility, and learn the importance of organization and hard work. Well, the austerity and harshness of having no water led to the second problem, anger. The children in the camp, they were crying out to their parents, "Mommy, I'm thirsty. Mommy, I'm thirsty." Can you imagine thousands and thousands of kids screaming and crying for water? Children as well as the elderly may have suffered from heat stroke or heat exhaustion. Some may have even died. I'm sure the livestock were bellowing and making all kinds of racket during the day as well as the night. They were thirsty too. No one could rest. Nobody could get any sleep because of all the commotion that was going on in the camp of Israel with crying babies and livestock making all kind of noise. Well, you know what? When you don't get any sleep, guess what? You get real irritable. At least I do. Amen. The heads of the Hebrews were inflamed with irrationality. Their hearts were inflamed with fury against Moses. Their hands were clutching stones, and they were ready to hurl them like fastballs at Moses, who was supposed to be the catcher. But Moses did not have a catcher's mitt. He was in trouble. Their circumstances were in control of them, and emotionally they were out of control. Have you ever gotten out of control? They also suffered from anxiety, attacks of panic and fear, and they argued with Moses there in verse 3. They directed their anger and their emotions toward Moses, and they quarreled with him, the Bible says. You know, it's interesting. God's people saw the plagues in Egypt. They saw the parting of the Red Sea. They saw the pillar of cloud and fire, the purification of bitter waters, and the provision of the manna. But still, they were perplexed, pessimistic, paganistic, and peevish. Understand, beloved, that arguing and fussing and fighting do not improve matters in your life. They tend to stress and strain relationships in homes to the brink of destruction and devastate your personal health. Unfortunately, many homes tonight are battlefields. The kids are fighting the kids. The parents are fighting with the kids. The teenagers are rebelling against the mom and dad. And to make matters worse, the husband and the wife are fighting like cats and dogs or cobras and weasels in a fighting pit. Beloved, God never intended that for a Christian home. That's not what God wants for us. Paul said in Ephesians 4:31, he said, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." You know, their attitudes led to the fourth problem. They were apprehensive about the Lord. They doubted God's care and help. They questioned there in verse 7, "Is the Lord among us?" They suffered from doubt about God's presence, his provision, and his promises. Let me ask you a question. Do you do the same thing? Do you go through your life saying, "Where's God? Can God really help me? Can God really answer my prayer?" You'd be amazed at how many Christians struggle with doubt about the Lord. Beloved, when our passion and our anger are uncontrolled, we can be guilty of some terrible absurdities, acting like madmen, and we attack verbally and physically our dearest friends, our loved ones. Happens all the time. Well, the fifth problem that made matters worse were attacks, arguments, and false accusations against Moses there in verse 3. They were confused and they wondered why Moses led them out of Egypt. The people blamed Moses and they complained to him. But you know what? It was God who was actually doing the leading.
Amen.
Let me ask you here. When you are waterless in the wilderness and things are not going well for you, do you blame other people for all your problems, or do you cry out to God?
Amen.
Huh? Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Blaming everybody else for your problems is not going to solve your problem.
Amen.
In fact, you'll find when you go around blaming everybody else for your problems, you're not only frustrating a lot of people, you're creating more problems for yourself. Listen, you want to get your problems solved? Cry out to God. And number two, take responsibility for problems that you have created in your own life.
Amen.
You take responsibility.
Yes, sir.
Well, waters of refreshment were coming because Moses responded the right way. We want to look at it very carefully because the way Moses responded led to puddles of refreshment for him and God's people. Moses demonstrated great patience and restraint. Now, how in the world did he do that? These people threatened to stone Moses. They were warming up their pitching arms. Yet by the grace of God, Moses in this situation, he responded properly to the problem. The waters of refreshment came because he prayed to the Lord. He called out to the Lord for direction. He was scared because of the threats of the stoning. He was helpless to meet their needs. He didn't have any water at all. He was clueless on how to solve the problem. He didn't know what to do at all, and he didn't even know where to begin to solve the problem.
Amen.
Have you ever been in that boat? Amen. If you have, then you can understand what he was going through. And that's why he cried out to God. Beloved, realize the Lord may allow difficulties in your life, leaving you helpless to motivate you to pray and to turn to him. God wants us to learn to be dependent upon him and to remove that independent spirit from our hearts. That independent spirit that says, well, I don't need the Lord today, that gets us into huge messes in our life. Moses was learning to trust God, and may we learn the same lessons that he learned. Dr. Wiersbe put it this way. He said, when God permits his children to go through the furnace of affliction, he keeps his eye on the clock and his hand on the thermostat. In other words, God is aware of what you are going through, and he is in control of your situation. I don't know about you, but that's a great blessing to me. Beloved, if you're waterless in the wilderness, running on empty, if you are on the verge of panic, the Lord has allowed your trial in your life to teach you that he can supply every need that you've got, no matter what circumstances that you are in right now. Thank God he can do that for us. Paul said in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Well, puddles of refreshment, they were coming. Moses was patient. He prayed for God's help and direction. Thirdly, the presence of God was assured. In verse 6, the Lord says, I will stand before you on the rock. And we too find refreshment by the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit indwells every Christian. Beloved, the control of the Holy Spirit in your life will do more for you in being faithful and coping with problems than anything else. Yield to his leading each day. If you will let him pilot your life, he will not steer you in the wrong direction.
He will help you to have peace and patience in times of pandemonium, confidence, courage, and calm in chaos, tenacity in times of trial and temptation, submission and surrender to the scheme of God for your life. The Spirit of God will do that for you. The Holy Spirit is the flame of our passion and our zeal for God, warmed like a dove fledging its downy nest. The Holy Spirit warms your heart like the sun on an October morning. His fragrance is like the breath of flowers blooming on a summer day. You cannot see him, but you know his presence is near. His whisper in your soul is gentle like morning light. He offers calming assurance and strength as sweet springs to a weary wanderer in a barren wilderness. His direction is clear and hopeful and beautiful, like sunbeams that peek through puffy pewter clouds after a summer storm. Yet his power should not be underestimated. Like a gale wind from a rolling sea that shakes and fills homes with its breath, I have seen the Spirit of God invade and sweep into a church service in the same powerful manner, rattling the cages of men's hearts and moving them to brokenness and repentance and waking up the dead, apathetic Christians and reviving their hearts and stirring their soul. Let me ask you a question tonight. Is the Lord trying to wake you up? Beloved, when you finally become conscious and aware of the presence of God in his holiness, it is then you will enjoy revival in your own life, your home, and in your church. You will enjoy puddles of refreshment. What a valuable friend is he who is frequently ignored and snubbed and spurned and shunned by many believers that he indwells. Yet the Spirit of God is patient with us like a gentle stream that flows day by day through rolling hills and deep valleys. I'm glad he's patient with me. Though grieved and quenched, he still gently pleads with us to yield to his direction and his summons for fellowship with him. Beloved, he is our best friend. But unfortunately, we are not a best friend to him. He is the key to our success at focusing and finishing what God leads us to do. And when we fall in love with him, we will see revival in our own lives. So let me ask you tonight, how is your relationship with the Spirit of God who lives within you? Do you ignore him? Is he whispering to you right now saying, you need to listen to that preacher because he's telling how I feel? The fourth principle that led to puddles of refreshment was obedience to the plan of God. God told Moses to take his rod and smite the rock in Horeb, and water would come forth from that rock. And if we are to enjoy refreshment and revival and blessing in our lives, we too need to obey God's plan and his instructions in his word, because his word is the key to blessing in our life. Psalm 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Moses smote the rock and the water gushed forth from that rock, just as the Lord said. There were puddles of refreshment everywhere that came from the smitten rock.
Amen.
See, God, he refreshed them in a hard place, in a hot place, but he met their need. The Lord demonstrated that in the greatest of difficulties, he can open the fountains of blessing and provision from unlikely sources. And where we least expect it, man, that's happened time and again for me. He makes a way in the wilderness, and he will make a way for you. If you're here tonight, if you're scared and you're lost and you're needy and you're confused, God will meet your need and he'll lead you if you'll follow him. You know, according to 1 Corinthians 10:4, the Bible says that Jesus Christ was the smitten rock, and he's the one that satisfies our thirst. Our Lord is all things to all men. In him we have our treasure. In him we see the diamonds of his deity. We see the opals of obedience to his Father's will. We see the sapphires of his saving grace and the pearls of his purity, the polished marble of his meekness, the rubies of his redemption, the limestone of his love, and the granite of his godliness and goodness. He is the rock of ages that we can establish our lives upon and have solid footing in our life. Just as the rock had to be smitten to bring forth life-giving water, Christ had to be smitten at Calvary to bring forth life for us. He is our puddle of refreshment. Listen, if you want to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ, then seek him in his word. Spend time in the jungle of the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. Listen to David play his harp, to the words of the songs that he sang in the Psalms. Sit at the foot of Solomon's throne as he proclaimed wisdom that he gained from God. Behold the three Hebrew men who stood up for God and refused to bow down to the king's idol. See those boys cast into the flames of the furnace and watch them walk without any harm as the furnace blazed as they were accompanied by the Son of God. Enter the lion's den where Daniel was thrown for praying to the Lord. Smell the stench of death that came from that lion pit. See the skeletal remains at the bottom of the pit as Daniel was lowered down into it. If they used torches to light the pit as they lowered Daniel down into it, see the glows of the eyes of the lions as the flames hit their eyeballs. I don't know about Daniel, I've been scared to death. But wait a minute, witness the miracle of God's power as the lions did him no harm at all because God shut their mouths. God did it. Stand next to Elisha as the Lord sent a whirlwind to carry Elijah to heaven. Hey, see Peter walk on the water toward his Savior. Watch our Lord feed thousands with a little boy's lunch and had plenty left over. Witness our Lord being unjustly tried and beaten and hear the crowd screaming for him to be crucified and see those Roman soldiers nail him to the cross, shedding his blood that left crimson streams on his face and body and red puddles beneath his feet. But wait a minute. Listen to the words of the angel
that proclaimed his resurrection on the third day and shouted out to those who came to that tomb, "He's not here! He is risen!" Thank God for that. Beloved, search the scriptures and you will be drawn to him. His word is a puddle of refreshment that will quench your thirsty soul. Maybe you're here tonight and you need refreshment in your heart and life. Well, first of all, make sure that everything is right between you and the Holy Spirit, who is your best friend. But do you realize that? And number two, get in his word. It'll change your life. If there are things in your life that you need to get straight in your life, then get them straight tonight. If the Lord is whispering to you, don't turn him off this time. Answer him. Amen. If God is speaking to your heart about surrendering your life to preach his word, then do what he says. Amen. He wants you to serve the Lord as a missionary, and he's talking to you tonight. Don't turn him off. If he wants you to serve the Lord in your church and work in the church in some way, then do what he says. You'll find refreshment in doing the will of God in your life. Let's just bow our heads, every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm going to ask Brother Steve to come up here and do whatever he wants to do. But let the Lord have his way in your life and find puddles of refreshment in living for him.
Don't you appreciate that preaching tonight? Dusty, you come on. Brother Bob, we're going to sing a song. Brother Bob Leatherwood's been a coming to camp meeting for years. Used to sing with Dusty's dad, Brother Halbert Levan. And we're going to sing a song together here. I'm glad there's a place you can go to get help for your life.